Good morning. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Yesterday, in the broadcast, we were talking about how to apply Scripture and the need to apply Scripture. If there was ever a time in church history when there seems to be very little of this being done, I don't know of any time since the Dark Ages when the Scripture has been more ignored and sidestepped than it is being today. I read an article from Charisma, the October edition. Well, I didn't really read it. It was more of a synopsis, but the article did appear in the October 1st issue of Charisma. I didn't take the time to read the whole thing on the air, or rather a synopsis of it. And the question that I left you with yesterday on the broadcast is, should you, as a born-again believer, one that we'll assume, for the sake of argument, believes in the authority of the Scripture and the fact that the Bible says what it says and it means what it says, assuming that's a given, the question comes up then, should you or should you not fellowship with somebody who does not hold to the authority of the Scripture? Should you try to have common cause? Should you engage in a common cause with somebody who, say, denies the virgin birth or the deity of Christ? Now, you're living in a society where this idea of common cause, well, we don't agree on a lot of things, but on this one we do. And there'll be certain things that are basically emotional in content that people will set aside their convictions for the sake of a particular cause, for a limited, perhaps, cooperation on things. Abortion is a case like that. And people, you know, as time goes on, there are going to be more and more of these things come up. So after a while, you're going to find that those things that the Bible identifies as being important doctrines are being set aside simply because, well, you know, we can't agree on that, and so we're just not going to discuss that. We're just going to pretend like that doesn't exist, and we're just going to cooperate on the basis of the things we agree on. Now, the Scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord is something that is expected for one who is walking as a child of the light, one who is, by definition of verse 8, light in the Lord. Now, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How are you supposed to determine? Would it be all right to attend a meeting like that? Well, you know, it's been going on since November. That must be a fantastic, and that's a year ago. That must be a fantastic meeting. The Lord must really be blessing down there. Let's go see. Now wait, be very careful. Why? What does the Bible say? Let's start, please, just in making application of the Scripture. Let's go, please, to the little epistle near the end of the New Testament, 2 John. There's only one chapter in 2 John. In verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, at first blush, you look at that and say, well, anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus came is no good, and I'm not going to fellowship with him. But you need to notice something here as you're applying this passage. It says here that many deceivers, wandering impostors, a corrupter, a seducer, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. They're not denying the fact that Jesus was a literal man, that he was here. What they are denying is that Jesus was the Christ in the flesh. Jesus Christ is not a first and last name. You wouldn't mail something to him and say, well, I'm not sure of the first name, but I know the last name is Christ. No. The term Christ, the word Christ, is the Greek equivalent for the Jewish term Messiah, the promised one of God. Anyone that comes into the world, there are many deceivers that are entered into the world who do not confess, who do not believe that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Christ in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, check up on yourselves, be on guard, be aware, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now notice, please, it's not talking about losing your salvation, which we have wrought, which we have provided, which we have produced, which we have manufactured. You did not manufacture your salvation. God did. But it's talking about losing reward for the things you've done in the context of the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go on. Whosoever transgresseth, now the word transgress means to go beyond the limit. In this case, goes beyond the limit of true doctrine. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, what are you talking about, the doctrine of Christ? Well, we could flush this out and take the rest of the week in talking about the doctrine of Christ. But we're talking about things just very briefly in passing. We're talking about the deity of Christ. We're talking about the pre-existence of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about the fact that he was virgin-born. He was made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that he lived a sinless life. You're finding today that more than half of professing Christianity does not believe that Jesus Christ was sinless, and they don't think it was important, but the Bible says he was, that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. If we're talking about the doctrine of Christ, we're talking about a literal and vicarious crucifixion on the cross. He died in my place, a vicarious atonement, a substitutionary death. If you divert from any of this, if you turn aside from any of these, you're not right with God. The doctrine of Christ includes the physical and literal resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, we believe it was a spiritual resurrection. Shut the door. You don't let a person like that in your house. It's not right. Now watch. Whosoever transgresseth. Oh, we're talking about the doctrine of Christ beyond the resurrection. There was a literal resurrection, a literal physical resurrection. There was a literal, visible, physical ascension up into heaven. And there will be a literal, visible, real return of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation period. He comes back before the tribulation to rapture the saints. He comes back to conclude that period of time in Revelation chapter 19. He is the one who sits on the throne. He is the one at the great white throne judgment. He is the one that preceding that came back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is King Jesus. Now you run into somebody, I don't care how religious they claim to be or what they're selling, if they don't agree with this kind of thing, you mark them. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Somebody from one of the cults knocks on your door and says, you know, I'd like to discuss religion with you. I want to talk politics with you. I mean, and it becomes obvious that the discussion is headed toward religion. Stop them and find out who they are, where they're from. And if you know that that group does not hold to the deity of Christ, a literal resurrection, what's it say? Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't say, well, you know, I just don't believe like you. You have a good day anyhow. Don't do it. Don't say, well, we're in disagreement. Lord bless you anyhow. Don't do it. Why? He that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, these cults run around dealing with confusion, dealing with people who are confused, and they'll take bits and pieces of the Bible to try to support their particular pernicious view of things and push their own doctrine onto people who make a pretense of trying to be Christians, but they don't know anything about the Bible. And as a result, they pick them off. And for those who don't know the truth, who believe the lie, who die without Christ, these people are engaged in a damning work. You don't want to be aligned with that. You don't bring them into your house. You don't let them have a Bible study in your home. You don't take the literature. You don't give them any money to help them do their stuff. Don't do it. Now, this is what the Bible says. Now, in a situation like back here we were talking about, should you participate in something like that or not? Well, what does the Bible say? He said if they transgress the doctrine of Christ, don't have anything to do with it. Well, now, if you got somebody who is denying the Trinity, you cannot mess around and say, well, you know, they're not denying the doctrine of Christ. My friend, when you start dabbling in a game of semantics like that, you will wind up selling that which is dearest. For the sake of what? Magic beans? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The idea is not, well, I couldn't find anything wrong with it. What's right about it? There's so many times people take a negative attitude. Well, you Christians always say, you can't do this, you can't do this. All right, how can you do this? How can you do that? What is there that is defensible about this course of action? Is it right or is it not? Is it acceptable to God? It is not enough to say, I don't see anything wrong with it. Does God accept this course of action? Does God, in His Word, endorse this? Or does He warn you from it? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And, notice please, having done that in verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. Oh, you're going to make people mad. So what? You think everybody loved Jesus Christ when he was here? Oh, yeah, no. Read the gospel accounts and see. There were people who hated him. There were people who wanted to destroy his credibility, destroy his reputation. There are those who wanted to kill him dead. And that's the course they went. No, Jesus said, think not I am come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. And he goes on, he says, father shall rise against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and on it goes. Now look, you prove what is acceptable to the Lord. And once you see what the Bible says, you make everything come into conformity to that. Don't you try to bend the Bible to fit your view of the way things ought to be. You bend to the Bible. You conform to the Word of God. How else do you expect to conform to the image of Jesus Christ? Remember in our study of Romans chapter 8, and whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Please keep in mind, my friend, that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is also the same one that is alluded to in John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. Look. Jesus Christ, if you are going to be conformed to Him, you must have a life that is conformed to the Word of God. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having demonstrated to your satisfaction, this is what the Bible says, then he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Take a stand against them. Somebody says, hey, how about you coming and joining with us, and we're going to do this and that? And I oftentimes have to say, no, can't do that. How come? Well, you have people involved in this particular movement who deny the virgin birth, who deny the authority of Scripture, who promote some non-biblical doctrine, who deny the inspiration of Scripture. I can't have anything to do with that. The Bible forbids it. I can't do it, and neither should you. Reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arisest from the dead, and Christ shall give ye light, shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, I don't have time to deal with those verses that I just read, but it kind of set the stage for tomorrow's broadcast, and I hope you'll join me then for the next edition of The Bible Says.